Hey everybody, this is Stu Smith, and I have a special guest for another Two Through and After podcast. And this week's guest is now a good friend of mine, Dan Luna, who is a former SEAL, and his last duty station was here at the Naval Academy, is where I was fortunate enough to meet him. And we're going to learn about his journey, you know, who he was before he joined the military, during his military journey, and really interesting life within the Navy, but even it's getting more interesting even after the Navy. So thanks for joining me, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. I appreciate it, Sue.
Yeah, so usually my first question is, who is Dan Luna, right? And who were you before you were, you know, in the Navy?
Okay, so I grew up in LA, single mom. So it's interesting. I'll actually maybe bounce around. So anytime I read my bio, it's like, oh, SEAL teams, this and this and this. I don't think you really understand like who the person is with a bio. So a lot of times I'd actually start out, you know, especially at the Naval Academy talking to midshipmen, and I would almost start out with something similar to this, like, hey, I was in, grew up in Southern California, Los Angeles, single mom. That's important to me because that plays sure. Later on my time in the teams and kind of this like search for manhood and masculinity and, you know, self-validate, like things that I couldn't name then that I can name now.
Sure.
So that's why I mentioned it now. It's important to me. So high school, like just kind of knucklehead. Like I wouldn't say you're like average knucklehead kid, because I see kids now that seem so much more squared away than I did at their age. You know, I had some odd jobs. I worked in restaurants. I was a busboy. You know, I mowed lawns for a little bit. Went to high school. Like, didn't do nothing crazy, nothing special.
Right. How about sports in high school? Were you able to have time to do sports?
Yeah,
we're working.
So I actually don't share this with too many people. So I played volleyball.
Sweet. So, hey, that's an LA thing. LA thing.
So I actually still love volleyball. I don't play very often, but I played basketball and I did some other sports, but I was terrible. I wouldn't even say I'm good at volleyball, but good, it was fun.
Sport. Good team sport.
It was a good team sport. I was a setter. I went to a small private school to a bigger public school halfway through high school. So that was a big change for me in high school. And the coach, I've always been pretty respectful for the most part. And I was real respectful to the coach. And she was like, hey, listen, essentially like, you're okay. You're not like varsity good. So she's like, you can be on JV and play, or you can be on varsity. And of course I was like, oh, I'll be on varsity. So I sat on the bench on varsity. So it was fun.
Okay. So when was it that you figured out you wanted to be in the Navy?
So graduated high school, still went back and forth. I'd always looked at the military or law enforcement, and I'd bounce around. And even as a kid, I'd read, you know, a bunch of books on different things. And so I ended up going, I got a part-time job for a human resources department. And then I decided to join the sheriff's department. So I worked for LA County Sheriff's Department for a little over a year, maybe about a year and a half. And I did corrections, and I was sitting, so it was actually South Facility. It's in, it's just north of Magic Mountain in California. So I worked at this facility out there, and I remember I used to work early morning shifts. So from maybe 10 at night to 7 in the morning or something like that. And I remember just sitting there and thinking, like, traveling forward in my life. And I was just like, man, this is like, I want something international. Like, I want to be involved in something international. So I was looking at LA County. I was even looking at CHP, so the California Highway Patrol. And I really wanted to be a part of something just international. And then that took me back to looking at Navy stuff. And that's when I really decided, I was like, man, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. I'm going to go for that. And of course, everyone thought I was crazy and joined the Navy.
Nice.
And here we are.
How long did it take you to prepare for that challenge?
So funny
enough.
Were you
a good swimmer? Were you a swimmer? Yeah. What was the foundation of your challenges?
You know, overall, I was an okay athlete. I wouldn't describe myself, and I would just, even throughout the whole teams, I've just being around high performers. And for me, I feel like just to be middle of the pack, and I know that's not ideal. Like, oh, why would you just not? I didn't want to just be middle of the pack. But for me, just to be middle of the pack took everything I had. And I felt like I worked my butt off just to get there. So funny. And I think when I first met you, I told you this. I was like, Stu Smith, holy smokes, like you got me through Buds. And I used your first book as my training book. And it was so funny because when I was using it, I was like, man, there's a lot of running. I think the pyramid was like 6 miles a day.
Or you might have built up to that. Yeah.
Something like that. You work up to 6 miles a day. And I was just like, man, that's a lot of running. So I didn't even max out like your training program, but I used your program to prep for Buds. And I was a decent swimmer. I lifeguarded for a little bit, you know, just growing up in Southern California.
Nice.
To go to Zuma Beach and Ventura Beach. So I grew up in the ocean. So very familiar with water temps and surf. And so had some idea of what I was getting into.
Oh, that's really good. So you get to Buds. What Buds class was that?
So I was in Buds class 228. Dick Couch did the book, I think Warrior Elite. He's actually getting ready. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not. He's going to do another book basically on 20 years later.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So looking at, because we were the Buds class essentially right before, well, there was a few Buds classes, but one of them right before 9/11. And right. So our time frame, like my first platoon, I was in a workup, and then 9/11 happened. And then, you know, that obviously my career and everyone else's career that was in the SEAL teams changed.
Overnight. Amazing.
Overnight. Yeah.
And really haven't changed since, you know, because before that time, you could spend 20 years in the SEAL team and maybe not even see combat.
Yeah.
Right. Now, after that day, you could spend 20 years in the SEAL teams and you might not see peace.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a hard challenge. So your entire SEAL career was doing it. Yeah. Right. And then obviously you went to a different program, you know, after how many years were you at Team 3?
So I started out at Team 1 and okay. I did 10 years at Team 1. Kind of had a unique time frame there. So I basically deployed every other year for 15 years to a combat zone. So and that time started out at Team 1. And then I went out to the East Coast. I was on one of the East Coast teams there. And so from 2000 to 2015. So my last deployment was to Yemen. So I assisted in the evacuation of the embassy there. Got back from that. It was crazy because we evacuated the embassy. So flew back home on civilian aircraft. Nobody knew where I was at as far as my family. And I arrived in Norfolk. All I had was a backpack. I got in a taxi, took a cab home, and I had the cab drop me off a few blocks from my house. I got out. It was maybe like 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock at night during the week. And I I took a few blocks just to walk home, and I was looking up at the sky, and I remember it was a clear sky, looking up at the stars, and I was just like reflecting on life.
15 years of this, right?
Yeah, I was like 15 years of this. I was like, yeah, this is like, and I'd been through a lot, like just my body, and that was kind of the last straw for me. And I had already had orders, and it just confirmed the orders that I had to the Naval Academy. And then 3 weeks later, maybe not even that, maybe two or three weeks later, my first thing at the Naval Academy was the screener.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, so I was supposed to check in on Friday, and I actually checked in on Wednesday just to try and figure out what I was supposed to do for the SEAL screener at the Naval Academy. So very different from like one extreme to the other one. And it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, seeing you at the Naval Academy for the last, what, three years, mm-hmm. were you there? The mids definitely got the best of Dan Luna while you were there. You offered them so much, not only in your leadership discussions that you had, but you did something that is probably one of the hardest things to do, and that is make a military branch change direction. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're a SEAL there, and I did this job before you as well when I was there, is that you're also going to get tapped to help out the people who are failing fitness tests or failing swimming tests. And we used to call that remedial PT or sub squad, right? It didn't really have a good name to it. You know, it wasn't something that was at all positive, right? I mean, we tried to make it positive, but I didn't even realize the branding of it was wrong. And you came in there and changed the name of remedial PT to the brigade training team, completely changed the mentality of how the mids perceived sub squad and remedial PT, and actually made it a leadership course to the guys that were in shape to help the guys that were not in shape. And it was directed by your, you know, knowledge and abilities to guide them properly. And that is one of the, for me, you know, because I was in that job as well, one of the most amazing things I've seen done there. And, you know, they're going to call it the brigade training team probably forever, because it's just such a great device and tool that the midshipmen use. In fact, I wrote an article about it on military.com just to say, if you have remedial PTs, change the name of it like Dan Luna did, right? Because it can make a big difference, and it has made a big difference.
Yeah. Thanks, Stu. I appreciate you acknowledging that. Yeah, so it was real interesting. So at the time, I was actually going through the master's program at Georgetown in leadership, and it's out of the School of Business. So a lot of the leadership case studies that we would do were all business. So it worked out well for me because I used it as my petri dish. And I'm not going to say nobody cared about the program, but I just had a lot of flexibility to move things around. Mm-hmm. And so. So the rebranding, so it was like, hey, if a new CEO takes over a company and the company is struggling, what do? You know, scale and downsize. So essentially it was just like, I moved out old staff because they had, you know, old ways of doing things. I scaled down. It was myself, and I would recruit like one person I could rely on, which wasn't ideal, but I was still trying to figure out like how to make it happen. And so going through school, using different business models, was just able to create change and restructure it to, hey, how is this more sustainable to where I'm not the single point of failure, to where we can have, you know, and it's beneficial for the mid. So I bring in good quality, change the name, change the energy, you know, shame's a great tool. I love shame, you know, shame's the primary tool I would use for the SEAL screener. But when folks are, as you know, when folks are struggling, with things in life, regardless of what it is. Shame's not the tool for that to lift them up. Exactly. And so it was just like, hey, let's make this a positive environment. Let's be proactive and not reactive. So to create an environment to where if the PRT is coming up, hey, let's try and make it to where people feel comfortable just showing up and, hey, they don't want to think about workouts, or they just show up and they can do the workouts, or if they're not sure on programming, or if they want to work out with a group, let's change the energy and the dynamics. So it took a while kind of for me to navigate it and figure it out. But at the end, I was pretty happy with it. And then what was hard was for me to actually get, when I left, it was my baby that I'd been working on. And the guy who came in and took it over from me, I couldn't have picked a better person, because his knowledge on programming is way more than my knowledge. So he was, so for me to restructure it and then for him to take it to and implement the next level, he was a perfect guy. So it worked out well.
That's awesome. And he's a SEAL too, correct?
Actually, so he's a human performance, a Navy human performance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So awesome. he runs the human performance lab at the Naval Academy.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about. Got it. That's awesome. So you finish up that. You mentioned you were getting your master's degree in leadership. And eventually, 20 years after the day that you signed up to join the Navy, you retired. Mm-hmm. And by the way, had a great retirement party. That was
thanks.
That was awesome. So what happened after that?
So I've been very fortunate with a lot of things in my life. And once again, I was very fortunate with this, a boutique business consulting company up in Boston called MFA hired me on to help them develop a business consultant pipeline. So teaming up with their CEO, their COO, HR, I helped co-create a training pipeline internal to them, where they pulled folks, tax audit, valuation, family planning. So different compliance components, and we put them through. So I helped design this program for them, soft and hard skills. And so when I retired in January, I ended up taking over that team. And so rolled right into it, took over the team. I learned, and I still don't claim to know anything about business, I learned a ton about business in a very short amount of time, just drinking through a fire hose, primarily, you know, privately held companies, 5 million on up, some startups, entity structure, like all these things. And I was like, holy smokes. And it was a well-paid internship working for them, and had some great mentors at this company. So it took the team, kind of met the deadline, you know, took them through the finish line, met our numbers, and I decided it was a good time for me to start my own thing. So I wanted to move from a service to a product. So right now I'm working on a leadership journal. So you have guided meditation, you have these, you know, guided tours, you have these things that are guided. What I'm working on is a guided journal that is both leadership consulting. So that's the push. And what I mean by push is me sharing with you best practices or things that I've done or things that are out there or research. So it's me giving you information. And then it'll be a heavy pull. So leadership coaching, and pool is who better to answer your questions than you, Stu. So to co-create and to join with you on your journey to pool information outside of you to create new awareness and shift perspective. So I'm trying to basically design a guided coaching journal through someone's leadership experience. I'm real big on leaders at all levels. It just shows up differently. So to help those individuals really navigate their personal leadership journey through this journal.
Well, that's really cool. I've seen you speak on leadership several times. Probably the most notable one was the one, in fact, I'll put the link to that in the description below. You have a great leadership conference that they had at the Naval Academy. Explain what that conference was real quick.
So the leader conference at the Naval Academy, they do it once a year, and they pull from schools across the nation. And it was funny enough, I've never been their first choice, which I'm okay saying, because they have an amazing lineup. Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
So Ed Byers was actually supposed to be their speaker, and he had to drop out last minute. And I think I was on vacation for the first one, and they called. I would check my email every now and then, and I saw all these emails to speak at this conference. And I was like, nope, there is no way I'm speaking at that conference. I was intimidated. You know, it was like senator and congressman and, you know, colonel and admiral. And I was just like, nope, I'm not doing it.
You have like the CNO there. I mean, it's big.
So I was like, nope, I'll just ignore them until they find somebody else. And finally they called me, and they're like, we have nobody else. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll do it. So I'm glad it happened. It ended up being a really good experience, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so if you really want to see what Dan Luna is really about with his leadership and where he gets a lot of his leadership style and lessons from, you got to check out that video. And like I said, I'll share a link in the description below, because it's phenomenal.
Thanks, Stuart. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. So what is this new company that you're starting? What's it called?
Yeah, so right now it's 3LX. So the idea of it and the symbol is a Native American medicine wheel. So LX is Roman numeral for 60. So I was trying to think of something like holistic, 360. And there's so many things out there on the internet. So I was trying to think of something clever and different. So and short.
Yeah, so 3LX.com.
Yep, so it's
3LX.com.
It's the 3LX.com. Oh. And okay. We're actually getting ready. So I just sent it out, kind of doing the beta test right now. I just started it. So I'm making a ton of mistakes, which I'm, you know, it's all part of the experience. So we're getting ready to change it to Team 3LX. So that's in the process.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Team 3LX. And, not there yet. And then just set up the Instagram page, not posting anything yet. I'm really right now I'm show of one. I just brought on another individual, Matt Davis. So he's a retired senior chief, EOD leadership consultant, getting his MBA MBA right now through Maryland. So ton of experience backing it up, you know, getting the education piece right now. So I brought him on. Him and I have been friends for a long time. And he's pretty savvy in publicly traded companies. So we're a good mix. And like I said, the journal is a major focus right now. So I still have to pay the bills. So how I do that is through services. So I still do coaching, consulting. I'll do a keynote every now and then. And so I do those things while I try and get the company up and going with the journal.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. I can't wait to see that. Now just going back, just step back real quick, because I want you to just take a minute and discuss the transition that you made again from your last team to the Naval Academy, and using that Naval Academy as kind of a, not necessarily a petri dish, but really your own source of down regulating, kind of downshifting, being with your family every night, you know, those type of things, like the value that you had coming from 15 years of combat deployments, right, to that transition of pulling back. Because I think a lot of the young listeners, you know, say, hey, I don't, you know, I want to do this, but I want to be operational, you know, and they just get really into the whole thought of, you know, not being operational, sounds like it's, you know, like the death sentence. But I want to, you know, just talk about that journey and that transition for you. And you don't have to get too into it, but just I like what it's meant to you between that moment and now.
So this is a really interesting topic, and I'll just skim the surface on it. Transition was really hard for me.
Yes.
You know, identity, you know, going from a regular SEAL team to a specialized team, and almost further and further away from a military structure, or what one would view as a military structure, you know, just having civilian clothes and beards, you know, overseas, and having that be the norm, to shaving twice a day at the Naval Academy, sometimes being in a uniform and having people make weird comments, you know, because of awards or whatever that's on your chest. So it was a real, and working with different communities, you know, so they'd see a chief, you know, and there was a time where I was overseas and I had two colonels working for me, because of my position and, you know, the command that I was at. And there was other places where I'd have, you know, commander, like senior level officers, looking to me. And then I show up at the Naval Academy and I have some lieutenant that thinks he's on the same level as me. So it was real, it was real interesting. And, so just that experience and the transition from, you know, high op tempo to sitting in my office going, what do I do all day? So trying to figure out, and I never thought of team life past the SEAL teams. All I wanted to do was be a SEAL. And then all I wanted to do was go to a specialized team. And then all of it stopped. And I was just like, holy smokes. So it's real interesting. And to kind of like sum up a real long experience, the difference between be and do was a question that even through retirement, so through my whole time there, it was like, what do I do next? What do I do? What do I do? That was a question that I kept asking. And then I finally asked a different question. And the different question that I asked was, who do I want to be? And who have I been? And it was just like, well, what do you value? And it was like, I value strength and service. And so for years, it showed up in a combat environment. And then for years, it showed up at the Naval Academy. And now it shows up, you know, through my own company. And it's still, and even my motto on the website is, our strength is for service. So those are the values that I've always had. And so that is, my being hasn't changed. What I do, it just shows up differently, you know? So what I did in the SEAL teams and then what I did at the Naval Academy, it showed up differently. Those values were still there. It's like, hey, I'm still here to serve. And by me being strong, I'm able to serve more people. I'm able to branch out there. So that was a little bit of my philosophy and a little bit of a motto, and just changing the question to be to do. And even for you, you know, like your service and how you strengthen people, it just shows up differently, you know? And I say the same thing for civilians. His name just slipped my mind. Mission Barbecue.
Oh yeah.
Bill Krause. Yeah. Bill Krause. Awesome dude. He's never been in the military. How his service shows up and how his strength, even through food and through finance and what he does for people, and civilians do the same thing. And I tell civilians that either donate or now use their business savviness to help nonprofits. You know, I'm part of the SEAL Future Foundation, and some of the folks that we have on there, you know, Steve Moreno's, he works for Capital Group and he's never served. But like what he's doing now for so many SEALs and so many vets is amazing. And I tell people like, hey, you don't have to wear a uniform to serve. It just looks differently. Now it's like, hey, even strength shows up in different ways, you know, mental strength, physical strength, like you have martial strength, you know, and you're combative. So you have these different components of strength, and it just recognizing what that component is and how you want to show up to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. That's incredible. So any last thoughts, Dan, on Dan Luna then, Dan Luna now?
Man, I'm just, I'm so grateful for, you know, the mentors that I've had throughout my life. You know, I'm tied in pretty close to a group called Seok Kali. They're a martial arts group, and I've had some mentors from them, and they've been great. Right now I'm working with a company, Corvus, and they're like the Uber of janitorial services. They're great. And their motto is like, they're about helping people, and they've brought me on really just to help better their franchisees and their leadership component, and really like asking the question of how can we better strengthen our people. And it's a great question for companies to ask, and to put finances aside and say, hey, we'll spend the money to better our people and invest in our people. I think that is so noble, because you can get lost in the compliance, you know, for a company to say, how much do we have to spend on that? Like, no, just grind, just work, just do your job, and just show up and put in the 9-to-5 and not think about how they can make their people's lives better or how they can make them smarter, or, you know, things that they can do to improve their life. So I've just been real blessed, and I'm so grateful, you know, for friendships like yourself. Well, thank you, sir.
I am so excited that you're one in the Annapolis area, so we can catch up anytime.
It's not such a terrible place out here.
No, I'm very excited for you and your family. One last question. Mm-hmm. You had a career of Navy Special Warfare, leadership yourself, seeing leaders. You've also had some advanced degree in leadership. Where would you say now your, I guess, maybe philosophy or percentage of taking your military knowledge that you're going into a business venture and your new master's degree discovery of leadership and learning from those things and some of your work experiences post-Navy? Where does that come in? If you could break it down into a percentage of how you think, you know, with consulting, would you say that your foundation is military based and then it kind of grows from there? Or would you say it's, you know, a third, or how would you say you, you know, devise like some of your ideas, in consulting that topic?
So I'm big on character and this idea of character. Character is the sum of all your habits. So who I am as a man now has come through strong male role models that I've been so blessed to be around, like I was saying earlier, in the SEAL teams. So I grew up in the SEAL teams, you know, most of my adult life from, you know, 20 to 40 was as a SEAL. So my identity is so tied into the military, and my lens is, you know, is that. I've developed other lenses since, but those have been stacked on top. How I look at business is through like how I look at combat and war and alliances and competitiveness. They're just different models, but it's still like through that that persona, if you will. Same thing with school, you know, going through school, skill stacking, so everything else gets stacked on top, but the military has been my primary foundation for it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing. I think a lot of people from the military need to make that leap with that foundation of leadership and skills and experiences that they have, be open enough to grow a little more, and then utilize that in, you know, a civilian setting.
Yeah. So I think what you just said is key too, and I like to highlight it, is, you know, for guys transitioning, one, set yourself up, two, network, and three, like that openness. You're a new guy again. So to swallow your ego and to know that you're going to go in a world, you're not going to understand the language, or so to just be open to new learning. That has been, it's been a challenge, and it's been, I've grown so much just being exposed to, you know, I love Georgetown, very different environment for me to go from, you know, the teams to an academic setting and to, you know, be exposed to different things, both in their master's and their leadership coaching program. And to just be open, I grew so much, and just take that new guy attitude, and it's okay to ask for help.
Nice. I love it. Dan, this is one of my favorite ones I've done. I think I've done about 15 of these two through and after videos, and this is awesome.
Awesome. You
know, I tell my wife all the time that I was like, oh, dang it, I missed Dan. If I'd have known he was going, I'd have been there.
You know, like, we got to have you over more often.
You bring just joy to people. So thank you very much for not only doing this, sharing your story, as well as your friendship as well. I value it deeply.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that.
All right. All right, everybody. If you have any questions, just post them below, and we'll get to them. Thank you very much for joining us on the Two Through and After series with Dan Luna.